Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. As Uncle Les said, my name is Daniel, and that's what we call him at The Message, Uncle Les. So feel free to call him Uncle Les now, from now on. It's funny, early on in the first service, people after communion just kept coming up to him, "Hi, Uncle Les. Hi, Uncle Les." So I'm hoping that the same thing will happen. Anyway, it's good to see you all. It's a real privilege to be hanging out with you guys this morning. I want to say thank you so much for the invite. Thank you, Matthew, for having me here and hosting me so nicely. And as I'm speaking right now, I can see, you know, some of you guys probably have a couple of thoughts and questions in your mind. And the first one is, yeah, Les is correct. He is an extremely tall human being. I am. And to answer your question, I am 6'6.5". That's my. Oh my goodness! What? I saw your reaction. Yes, that's the reaction I get all the time. I am extremely tall, 6'6.5". And you might be hearing there's something within my accent, even my surname Eduardo. And you might be thinking, what is he? Where is he from? I'm Portuguese. I was born in Portugal, son of missionaries. My parents are still out in Portugal. I was born in Portugal, grew up in Portugal, and then I heard of a land that has sun 365 days a year. So I decided to move to the UK. And that's where I've been living for the last, I don't know how many years now. I live in Stockport. I'm married to a lady called Emily. She's a primary school teacher. She is from Manchester. Well, she's from Chiddohume, actually. But anyway, it's a real privilege to be hanging out with you guys this morning. Like Les said, I know I've had the privilege of working alongside Les and working for this particular charity called The Message Trust, which I have been involved for 9 years. Yeah, 9 years, you're correct. He is the HR guy, so he knows how long I've been there for. For 9 years, I've been in one of their bands, one of their mission teams, called Brightline, and I'm not going to lie, it's been so much fun traveling. Literally, I've traveled to so many countries. I've traveled to so many places by doing gigs in schools, doing high school tours, to going into prisons and doing gigs in prisons, to playing at arenas, at festivals in front of 10,000 people, to playing different places all over the world, to going to Kenya, playing festivals in Kenya. But the main purpose of it, as much as I do enjoy traveling, the main purpose of it is to tell young people about Jesus, to tell people that in the midst of the storms of life, there is hope. And it's not about wishful thinking or human optimism, but hope has a very specific name. And what's his name? Oh, come on, St. George, we can do better than that. What's his name? Exactly, to tell people in the midst of storms of life, there is hope, and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And many times people ask me as well, what do you do within the band, Daniel? And if you would see Brightline perform, you would slightly be confused as well, because you see the guitarist, and you're like, yeah, I see what he does, he's a guitarist. You see the drummer, very clear what he does. You see the singer, Lucy, very clear what she does. I tend to run around a lot on stage, jumping up and down, and I do a bit of... I'm a beatboxer. That's what I do. Beatboxing, because I'm not a real drummer or a real musician. Maybe I can teach you later on. Maybe you and I can do it together. Is that cool? Shall we do that? Yeah, I can see you ready for it. I can see you ready for it. So that's kind of what I've been doing for the last, I don't know how many years. And more recently now, I am involved in this mission called Festival Manchester. And maybe you were around in 2003 when there was a Festival Manchester in Heaton Park. Was there anyone around for that? A couple of people around for that. 2003 had Festival Manchester, a partnership between the Message Trust and the Luis Palau Association. So we decided to do the same thing again. And this kind of stemmed from the first lockdown that we had in March 2020. You know, Boris said, we have to close everything down. And like everybody else, we shut our doors. We had so much surplus food from our cafe that we started blessing the community on our doorstep. And it was one of those, I generally thought, I don't know about you guys, but I thought, great, 2 weeks of holiday. Did anyone else think it was just going to be like a two-week little, I know what, this is actually like a welcome break. It's sunny as well, so I can kind of hang out in my garden with my wife, kind of some cool barbecues, and whatever. But obviously that went more than 2 weeks. But we were going to do a party in the park, just a little celebration, which obviously lockdown went on for a lot longer than that. So we decided to do something bigger. What would it look like for the whole church in the Northwest, you know, to stand together in unity and to step out in faith, to genuinely reach the last, the least, and the lost with the good news of Jesus? Because we know and we believe there is the gospel that brings transformation to our culture, is the gospel that brings transformation to our society, right? So we contacted our friends in America, the Luis Palau Association, and they are they are the ninjas when it comes to world evangelism. They've been doing it for years, since the 70s, just kind of all over the world, big festivals, which has been amazing. So we contacted them. They said, yep, we're up for this. And then we contacted some church leaders around the Northwest. Would you be up for being part of this adventure? And there was a real sense of, yes, let's go. So Festival Manchester is happening from the 1st to the 3rd of July, Withenshaw Park. Now, don't be put off by the name. I know it says Manchester on the title. We had to call it something. I know if you live in Point, you'd be like, we're not Manchester. We're not even Greater Manchester. We're Cheshire, baby. And I'm saying, okay, I get that. You're Cheshire. It's all good. But this is literally for the whole church in the Northwest. And I know there's something specific happening called Love Pointer, which is a smaller version of festival. And we're really excited to be involved with that and just kind of help partner with you in terms of doing mission within Pointer. But I've got a video to show you. Have a look at the screen. If you really focus, you can... There we go.
Right across our region. This is the heart, the vision, and the hope of Festival Manchester 2022. Every great move of God begins with prayer, and this is at the heart of Festival Manchester. We want to see the church in our region rise up in prayer like never before. As we passionately pray, we're asking everyone to commit to specifically praying for five of their friends who don't yet know Jesus. Join us and get involved in seeing lives transformed. As we pray, we step out. Kicking off the festival will be a night of prayer, worship and vision as we come together and ask God to lead us as we go out in service and mission. Word and deed always go together. Love Where You Live will be a key part of Festival Manchester. As well as proclaiming the good news of Jesus, we'll be heading into communities, transforming streets, meeting needs. We'll work in partnership with local government, the police, and other partners as we show love to our neighbours, building long-lasting relationships that draw people closer to Jesus. We don't want anyone to miss out on the opportunity to hear the gospel. So as well as our huge festival, we'll be running build-up events right across the region, including homeless and prison outreaches, events designed for women, business and civic leaders, and so much more. There will also be a comprehensive program to reach young people in the region's high schools and primary schools. World-class bands and mission teams will work alongside local churches to impact this generation. To make sure no one misses out, we'll be putting significant resources so that everyone can hear about Festival Manchester 2022, building excitement for what we believe could be the biggest mission our region has ever seen. Every step of the way, we'll be equipping and training people in how to share the good news and introduce their friends to Jesus. We'll help them understand their decision, encourage and pray with them, and connect them with local churches. And all this climaxes from the 1st to the 3rd of July 2022, right here in Withenshaw Park. A weekend packed with family-friendly activities, performances from some of the best-known Christian artists, jaw-dropping stunts from world-class athletes, a family fun zone, a skate park, and so much more. All with multiple opportunities every day for people to hear and respond to the gospel. As the church steps out in prayer and action on a scale we've never seen before, we pray this will be just the beginning. We don't just want to see decisions, we want to see lifelong disciples and communities transformed as we propel forward in mission, united as one church. Festival Manchester 2022 is a partnership between the Message Trust, the Lewis Palau Association, and hundreds of churches, ministries, organisations and businesses. For more information and to find out how you can get involved, go to festivalmanchester.com.
I think that's pretty exciting, right? That's pretty cool. This is all about equipping the local church to be missional, to just genuinely step out and to reach the lost, the least, and the lost. We're having different build-up events in order to equip people, different ages. This is not a youth festival. This is a festival for the whole family, for every single age. And talking about equipping, tonight, actually, we got a couple of guys from our Festival Manchester team who are coming here in order to equip your young people to be missional in their schools, in their communities. So if you're a young person, and if you got young people within your family that normally come to St. George, I would love to know more about Festival Manchester and how they can get involved in their local high school. Please chat with Karis, because these two guys from our team have been traveling around Northwest, all about equipping young people to be be missional. And it's been such a beautiful thing just seeing an army of young evangelists just kind of rising up and taking that confidence in order to share their faith with their friends and families. But this is for everyone. And on the 2nd of April, you'll see a slide on the screen. There's an event happening at Audacious Church, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. I've got loads of information at the back. Pete Gregg is speaking. You might know Pete Gregg from 24/7. Tim Hughes leading worship. Jake Isaac, another worship leader. Andrew Palau from the Palau Association in America is coming here from the U.S. to the U.K. So this will be an opportunity for the whole church to gather together to worship, to pray for Festival Manchester. So I would encourage you, would you consider coming along on Saturday, whether 2 p.m. or 7 p.m. There's different ways that you can, you know, take part in Festival Manchester. It's more than the weekend. We're looking at, you know, equipping 500 families to adopt and to foster through our partnership with Home for Good. We're looking at doing homeless banquets all across the Northwest. Again, the purpose is telling people about Jesus and then having churches as a safe place to welcome people who are homeless and rough sleepers and feel like they're part of a community. We're looking at sponsoring 1,000 children for a partnership with Compassion, having at least 200 church-led social action projects, which we're calling Love Where You Live, going to as many high schools as we can, creating a primary school choirs as well. So if you are a teacher, a governor from a primary school or from a local high school, please chat with me at the end. I'll love to chat with you. But there's different ways that you can take part within festival and the care package around it. You can pray, and I feel like every single person in this room can pray for festival, can pray for the streets. And again, I've got more information about that at the back. You can volunteer. You can say, you know what, I'd love to be part of the actual weekend. Help out, whether it's praying with people, whether it's stewarding, whatever that looks like, please chat with me. And as well, give. Maybe you say, you know what, I'd love to financially give towards Festival Manchester. So again, please come and chat with me. At the end, I would love to chat and see how we can genuinely partner together in the gospel. So this lives or dies by church partnership. It's not just about an organization coming in and doing something, but it's about seeing the local church post-COVID step out and say, you know what? We are still alive. We're doing stuff. We're loving on our community. And I genuinely believe that we will see transformation within our society, within our culture. And I don't know about you, but there's always a passage for me that whenever I read it, I'm like, ah, yes, this is why I do what I do. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is like life-giving words. Every time I'm reading it, I'm like, come on, this is why I do what I do. This is why I travel around. This is why I go into high schools. This is why I do the music. It's more than just performing in front of people. It's genuinely bringing these life-giving words of the gospel to people that need to know that there is hope. I love what Paul says, starting on verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. See, many times we feel like we have kind of the arm twisted behind our back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14, we feel like we've got the arm twisted behind our back. That's the reason why we go and do evangelism or tell people about Jesus. But the reality is the reason why we should go out there is because we love Jesus so much. We've been a target of this incredible love that we can't help. We can't help but just share this amazing love, right? We can't help but share this incredible life-changing love that we have been a target of. Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. But then he goes on to this. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. That moment when someone decides to put their faith and their trust in Jesus, that moment when someone embraces, I am choosing life, new life comes. The old is gone and the new has arrived. See, we think that because we got breath in our lungs, we live. And maybe everyone in this room would say, yes, I'm living. Look, I'm living. I got breath in my lungs. But I genuinely believe that there is a difference between existence and living. Everyone that has breath in their lungs exists. Everyone in the world that has breath in their lungs exists. But not everyone is truly living. John 10:10, Jesus says this, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But then he says, but I have come to give life so that they might live life to the full. See, if we want to live a life with purpose, with true meaning, to the fullest, if we really want to truly live, we need to put our faith and our trust in Jesus. That is only possible through Christ. So the moment when someone embraces this new life, the moment when we embrace this new life, we go from being part of the problem to being zombies, to simply existing, to truly living, which only comes through Jesus. My prayer is, God, would you do that? Would you do that as part of Love Point and as part of Festival Manchester? As we step out in faith, would we do this? Would you do it, Lord? And then he goes on to say, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. My goodness, we have been reconciled to God. I mean, check this out. The creator of the universe, the one that spoke and things came into existence. The one that said, let there be light, and there was light. The one that just enabled me to take this breath. The creator of the universe is on a rescue mission to get his kids back home. He wants his children back. And he allows us to partner with him on this great rescue mission. But we have been reconciled. We were at odds with God. We were enemies, actually. But Christ still died for us. The purpose so that we can be reconnected, reconciled back in the friendship with the creator of the universe. To go from existing, being a zombie, to truly living. And now that because we have been reconciled, we have been given this ministry of reconciliation to go out into the world like, listen up, let me tell you about this great news, because it is good news. Let me tell you about hope, about life. People are looking for something. Psalm 42 verse 1 says this, says the deer longs for water, so my soul longs for you. The psalmist is talking about his relationship, his desire to be with God. And I believe that's not just a sentiment from the psalmist, but I believe that is a thing that exists in the hearts of every individual that ever walked on this planet. They're longing for something. People are searching for something. What is the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? What is this God-shaped hole that they have in their hearts? And they're filled with a whole bunch of different things. And there's the thinking of like, if I get to do this, that, and that, if I marry the right person, if I have the right kind of career, if I climb the ladder, if I have the right property, if I get into a whole bunch of different things, then I'll truly be satisfied and I'll be truly happy and I'll be living life to the full. And the reality is that will bring some sort of satisfaction, but it will be momentary. Because true satisfaction only comes through Christ. The reality is we are searching for something. And I believe, church, that our job is to be like John the Baptist and simply be like, that's the guy. The one you're looking for is that one over there, Jesus. That guy, have you heard of him? Let me tell you about him. Christ then calls us to be ambassadors, representatives of another kingdom. That's what an ambassador does, right? They represent another sovereign. They represent another kingdom in a foreign land. We have been reconciled to God. We now become part of the kingdom of life. As we walk this world, we represent him. We share the love in word and in deed. That's why Love Where You Live, social action is such an important thing, because we're very practically sharing God's love. But Daniel, I'm not like you. I can't speak, or I'm too shy, or I don't know what to say. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, there's always excuses about everything. But the reality is, it's a good thing you're not me. It's a good thing you're not like me at all. That would suck. One of me is enough. If that's more than me, that would be horrible. Ask my wife. God utilizes each and every one of us. The ordinary, the simple stuff. God utilizes it. And I know this sounds cheesy, and he adds a little something special in it and makes it extraordinary. He utilizes what you have in order to be these ambassadors, these ministers of reconciliation. And my prayer is like, God, come on, man, would you do it? Would you do it, God, in our town, in our neighborhood? And would you do it as part of Love Point? And would you do it as part of Festival Manchester, that we would see people go from death to life and be alive in you, Jesus? Would people find true hope? I read these words, I'm like, God, give me the grace, give me the strength to do this. Because it's through the gospel that we see real transformation. It's through people like yourselves taking that step of faith and be like, let's do it. Let me tell a quick story as I wrap up. 1984, there was an event happening in London called Mission to London, QPR Stadium. My mom, she didn't love Jesus. She lived for herself, working in the city, pretty successful, doing her thing. And one of her friends invited her to go to an event that was happening at QPR. So she didn't really, she knew he was a Christian. She didn't really know what the event was really about. So she says, cool, sure, why not? So she goes, she finished work. She says, she remembers, she finished work, still had the suit on, her briefcase. She goes to QPR Stadium. She sits on the stand next to her friend. And then all of a sudden, there's this small Argentinian man goes running onto the stage. His name, Luis Palau. He goes, he preaches the gospel, and my mom remembers how it went. She says, everything went bright, and everything just went quiet. And I knew that I had to give my life to Jesus. So she goes into the middle of the pitch and gives her life to Jesus. 5 years later, she meets my dad, becomes a missionary in Portugal. They get married, they plant a church. I come along. She then introduces me to Jesus. My parents, by the way, they're still in Portugal, still loving the people out there, still being missionaries out there. They introduce me to Jesus as a young boy, as a teenager. And for the last 9 years, as part of what I do, I've had the opportunity to introduce thousands of people to Jesus through the band and through music and all that kind of stuff. And I've seen some of those introduce other people to Jesus, be baptized and introduce other people to Jesus. And the reason why I'm telling this story is a twofold thing. The gospel seed, when it's planted, it just naturally multiplies. It never stays in one location. It just explodes like wildfire. It's a beautiful thing. But all it took was that one person, one of her friends, to one, pray for her, and then invite her to an event. And then all of a sudden, you see this cascade of things happen, this waterfall of just gospel goodness. See, it takes us to take that one step of faith. It's like, cool, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to invite my friends to come along to it. I'm going to pray for my friends. And I would really encourage you to do that. Pray for people. And I know some of you have been, you know, most of you will be praying for people within your families to meet Christ. Please keep praying. That works. Prayer genuinely works. Prayer really works. That they will come to faith in Jesus. And obviously, it would be weird for me to come here and talk about being a minister of reconciliation and not even giving an opportunity for people to be themselves reconciled to the Father. And again, I do not know where your story is at. I don't know where your journey is at. Maybe you have been coming to St. George forever. Maybe it's just a cultural thing that you do. Or maybe this is the first time that you've been to church and like, who the heck is that guy with dreadlocks talking to me about Jesus? I have no idea what's going on. Well, I believe that you are in this room for a reason. And I believe that God is all over your case. But I would want to challenge you. You know that where you are with Christ. You know where you are with God. Maybe you've been coming because your wife keeps telling you, come to church, come to church. I'm like, okay, keeps the peace at home, so I'm going to come to church. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the husband's been telling the wife, come to church, come to church. And you want to keep the peace at home, so you've been coming to church. Let me challenge you. Everybody has to make the same choice. It's either live for Christ or live for themselves. And even if you decide not to make a decision, that is a decision of itself. Not deciding is deciding not to follow Jesus. I'd want to challenge you. Be reconciled to Christ. Be reconnected with Christ. Don't be at odds with God, but be reconnected with God. Jesus loves you. God created you with purpose, with special value, and with meaning. Christ loves you so much that he was willing to step out of heaven onto earth with skin on. Jesus, live a perfect life, die on the cross in our place for our rebellion against God. But the story doesn't end there because 3 days later, Jesus came back to life. And I'm not going to lie, St. George, I thought that when we mentioned about Jesus coming back to life, there would be a little more of a reaction. So I'm going to try that one more time. Is that cool? See, Jesus died, but the story doesn't end there because 3 days later, Jesus came back to life. Yeah. See, death couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't hold him down. Jesus is alive and he invites us to have true life. All we need to do is repent, which means you go in one direction. And you switch it up. You go a different direction. You go from being part of the problem, being part of the solution. And I know you might be thinking, this is really weird, Daniel. Why are you even? Man, we've been going to church for ages. I don't know. My job is to plant the seed and let God do everything. So I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, if that's okay. I'm not going to do anything weird. But this is an opportunity for you just to reflect where you stand with Christ. You know it. He knows it. And I appeal to you, come to Christ. Be reconciled. And I'm going to ask you to do something brave. And on the count of three, if you're one of those people that's saying, you know what, this is what I'm doing. I'm choosing Christ. I'm choosing to live for Christ. Whether it's the first time, whether you did it years ago and you've walked away, come back home. I'm going to count to three. And if that's what you want to do, if you just pop your hand up in the air, it's nothing magical about the popping hand up in the air, but this is just a physical act of you saying, God, I'm choosing to live for you today. One, God loves you. He really does. Two, we sinned against God. We were part of the problem. We put the two fingers up at God and say, I'm going to live for myself instead of living for you. And because of that, we deserve death. But God in his amazing love provides a solution, Jesus. Jesus comes, lives, dies for us. And invites us to have true life. And three, if that is what you want to do, would you just, with me, put your hand up? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come to Christ. Thank you, thank you. Amazing. Amazing. So this is what we're going to do, St. George. This is incredible. Let's pray together. Can we do that? So I'm going to pray, and what would be great for all those people that said, yes, I'm choosing Christ, if we all pray together just as a big family. So just say, Dear Jesus. Oh, all right, St. George. Ooh, I know it's cold and wet outside. Oh, let's try that a little bit better. Dear Jesus. I'm sorry. I've messed it up. I've sinned against you. But thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died for me. And today I choose to live for you. Help me be a minister of reconciliation. And help me love people the same way you love them. In Jesus' name. Amen. And this is incredible. And my prayer is, God, through Love Points and through Festival Manchester, would you do something beautiful and amazing in Poynton, Cheshire, in the Northwest, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.